welcome to another episode of Living an Ultra Life. My name is Mike, and this week we have another Swami Shuffle 2025 finisher, the awesome, incredible, stupendous Mr. Scott Braddock. Scott, you ready to go for a little run?
Yes, I'm ready to go for a little run.
All right, how are your
Just a
feet
little
doing?
run. Actually, doing a lot better. I got lift drainage massage, not really massage, but they worked it with a little suction cup thing. And
Oh, cool, yeah.
so I got that done and they activated lift nodes and then also finally got some compression socks and wore them for 11 hours and pretty much all the swelling went away. Pretty amazing, though. A lot of people said I got pregnant feet.
Well, Scott, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? Well, what do you do for a living? What do you do when you're not out running crazy long distances?
My name's Scott Raddick. I'm 40 years old. I work at the Newport News Shipyard as a planner. I've been there just over 21 years. I have two beautiful children, Cole and Alice. Cole is 14. He'll be turning 15 in April, and Alice is 11. She's a little spontaneous young lady, but it's all good. Unfortunately, my wife Jamie and I are separated. It's been a year actually today. So off and on, I've been running most of my life, just off and on for some, a little bit here and there. 2018, I ran a marathon, the Marine Corps Marathon, to bring awareness for NF neurofibromatosis, which my son had, and years later found out he actually got it from me. It's a rare genetic disorder that 1 in 3 to 4,000 people are affected. But very fortunately that him and I have very low symptoms.
So you ran the 2018 Marine Corps Marathon. How did that go?
It did pretty good. I went from couch to the Marine Corps Marathon in 16 weeks, and by like 40 seconds, I beat 5 hours.
Wow.
I was in tremendous pain. I mean, I had only about like 260, I think maybe 300 miles on my feet before that.
Oh my gosh.
So I stopped running and then picked up running again, I think it was in 21. Because we started training for the 10-hour ultra marathon in Windsor Casper that Cameron
That's right,
Sledge
because
made.
because Thomas talked you into running that, right?
Yeah, he talked me into it. And at that time, I only had about 300 miles on my feet, and he had a whole bunch more. He had like 900, and he only beat me by like 8 minutes up to 44 miles. So
Yeah,
I
because you
felt
both finished with the same mileage, right? 44.
Yes. I was hurting afterwards though, but his recovery time was a lot quicker. But hey, it was mind over matter then. I was, pushed through, got 44 miles in, and I kept running a little bit. Later that year, I did the half marathon in Virginia Beach, the rock and roll, I believe it is.
Cool. Okay, the last year they did it then.
Yep, and that was for the NF to raise awareness for NF again. And I did a sub 2 hour for that.
Wow,
Feeling
that's
good.
impressive.
And all this time, when COVID started, I started doing keto and dropped a bunch of weight, got down about 155, 160. So I did all the 10-hour race on keto, which was, I think, pretty good.
Yeah.
And then did the half marathon and did that and then stopped running again. And let's see, I ran again a little bit the next year and off again. 23, I was off and on, just, running for a few months and then I'll stop. Just how life got busy. There's more things, with the kids and the wife. Just had to put it on the back burner. It wasn't as important to me at that time. So then now here we come, early 24. I lost my father, January 25th of 24. Then a week later, my wife, we were having troubles, wanted some space. And ultimately, a couple weeks later, she wanted, a separation. But in the way, that was a really good blessing because it brought me to Christ. And it led to a guy that had been put in my life years prior that I reached out. And he ultimately, has been discipling me and been mentoring me and leading me in Christ, and it's been such a blessing over this past year. But then with this, stuff going on, I end up running was a good, not out, but a good time to my thoughts. Play
Yep.
some music, and to me, a lot of people say running's hard, but I think running is one of the easiest things to do. You just put one foot in front of the other and you just go. You get lost in your thoughts with the music. I can't do treadmills, I can tell you that. Don't like treadmills. I gotta go run somewhere, and even like loops. I don't like redoing loops. So
Okay.
I'll run other streets and stuff, and like down at Founders Point, Thomas is like, "Well, you can run around the loop again." I'm like, "No, I'll hit all the streets and I'll run down Sugar Hill or something else, or run down 17." But not a big fan of redoing the same scenery,
Okay.
even though I'll do it 3 times a week. But that same day, I do not like running the same street more than once.
Okay.
It's just, I guess, a pet peeve or whatever for me.
No, that's cool. I think it's awesome. So, would
So,
you say like running has become kind of that emotional outlet where you're able to like reset every your emotions and everything?
that, and I grew up in sports, and
Okay.
I wrestled for 10 years of my life, and I was always the smallest, and in a way I had to prove myself, but it was end up being like a competition for myself. Let me see how much I can push myself. I always enjoyed pushing myself and see what I can do. So there's, I'm training every month, increasing my mileage, and I get to July. I ran 125 miles that month, and I'm
Wow.
always exhausted. And I just don't know what's going on. Something doesn't seem right about my running. I've been off and on for years. It's just not getting any better. And very fortunate, I'm O positive, and I like to give Power Red to give back, to help people out and save lives. And I try to go give blood, and my iron was too low. So I'll come back 2 weeks later. Again, my iron was too low because you got to be a certain hemoglobin to give blood. And
Okay.
I call my doctor. She was like, "Well, we just took you in March." I was like, "Something's going on." And I convinced her to do more blood, and my iron was extremely low.
Wow.
And so that was, started to get on supplements. And at this time, I was signed up for the Pemberton race in Salisbury.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to this race. And I was like, "Well, if I'm gonna start training, I need a new watch." I had the old Forerunner, like 220, and just it worked for like the years prior. But if I'm gonna get into running and do my progress, and then I need to get a better watch. And very fortunately, the watch went on sale, so I purchased it. I got like first of September. And when I first got it, I started running, and my VO2 max was 39. Well, that's probably why I not doing
I'm
too well.
exhausted. Yeah, no kidding.
I'm like, and I thought if I had this watch, for the past year, I probably would have known my iron went down, but it is what it is. And I was trying up to Pemberton, and I did the 17 out of the 24 5Ks in that day, but kept on moving. And slowly I trained, increased my mileage, increased my intervals. I did about once a week, sometimes maybe once every 2 weeks. And slowly my VO2 max started to increase. And let's see, we went through, Christmas, and anytime I get a chance, I'd run. And all the same time, a lot of these days I'm getting up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Just, to me, it's very important to seek God, to seek Christ in the morning, give him his time, and then go running and or start work, because I'm either flexing or adjusting my time to get my hours in for work. Even on Saturday morning, I'm getting up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, especially when I have the kids, that I can go running before they get up, because I want to spend more, I don't want to take my time away from my kids when I had them. And as all this training go on, my VO2 maxes keep on increasing. And about probably 4 weeks before Swami, I hit 40. My VO2 max got up to 47. So in about 6 months, I went from 39 247, and I think that's good of what people talk
Yeah,
about.
that's awesome. When did you get off of the wait list for Swami? Was that wasn't it like just a couple weeks before
It
Swami?
was 6 days, 7 days before.
Oh my
Well,
gosh.
Friday. It was 8 days, but to me, it was so important for me to do this, and I wanted to do it. I, you know, wrote a nice email to James, said, "Hey, you know, I really want to do this. I'm going to do it. You know, I'm going to do it, but I'll stay out of the way of your runners." And then, think Friday, and this was a couple weeks prior to that. And then Friday, they had an all hands meeting, and then I get an email saying you got in. So I'm like, cool. So,
That's awesome.
it was pretty cool for me to get in. And then, you know, for the veterans, it's very important to me. My dad served in Vietnam. My oldest brother went to West Point. He's retiring next year. The next brother did reserves in the Marines, but he still served. And the other brother was went to the Coast Guard Academy. And then my wife, she served in the Air Force for almost 9 years. So,
Wow.
and then I also work on Navy ships. So to me, the military, it means a lot to me and what they do, because you sign that line. And you don't know if you're going to go to war or not, but you sign that line saying you will go to war to protect this country. And it's more than what I did. So it means a lot to me. And also actually in November, January, a very good friend of mine, her daughter's father ended up losing the battle to PTSD in January. So that was another thing that drove me to wanting to do this. Never met the guy, but the young lady is, I've known her for a long time, and she's near and dear to my heart. And, you know, we're so close that my name is Uncle Scotty. So, you know, I wanted to do this to bring awareness. And, you know, there's a lot of people that don't know the number that veterans unfortunately lose their battle to PTSD.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, 22 a day. So, but yeah, so we're up, you know, January, February. And with that, you know, my longest run was a 50K up at the Mid-Atlantic 50K up in Maryland, June or January 4th. So 31 miles was my longest run before
Oh,
Swami.
wait a second. So your longest run since like in 3 years since you did the 44 in 2021 was 31 miles.
In 1 day,
Wow.
I did do a marathon on Saturday morning and a half marathon on Sunday afternoon, but at one time my longest one was 31 miles, or was a 50K. So knew it was going to be hard, but really in reality, I had no clue what I was getting myself into.
So you find out 8 days before Swami starts that you're in, but you had already decided you were going to run the thing one way or the other. So did you have a strategy already worked out?
I had a strategy of placing stuff. I had a friend named Jeff that had a house in Corolla. Karen Sanzo had a house in, I think it's Kitty Hawk. So I was going to just place the stuff underneath in like the driveway area. And then I do have a camper that Thomas and I, we end up towing down to the Oregon Inlet to place there just in case for refueling, nap, whatever, is a little less than three quarters. So we end up doing that, and I plan on trying to do a 1 mile on, 1 mile off, and I was going to go all the way down to the lighthouse and then back to the camper. And like I said, well, if I do this, I can make it to 36 hours. But no clue really what I was getting myself into.
Right.
I mean, the first 67 miles, I did, you know, the first 50 was on and off. I did that about in 10 hours. And since I also want to go back, I didn't have a crew. I just staged stuff. So I'm carrying my water, my snacks, and I knew how long I was going to get to Karen's place. So I put my bigger headlamp in there. So I didn't have to carry it as long. But I had, you know, the first, before Jeff's, I didn't carry them on my small batteries because I knew it was going to be good. So, you know, I had a battery at Jeff's house. I had my vest and one small headlamp because I knew it wouldn't be too long after dark before I got to Karen's house. So I had that, and then got to Karen's place, swapped out, got some more snacks, and realized snacks is not enough. Not
Right.
enough.
Right.
So I stopped at Wendy's. And I'm doing this on trying to do this on keto. So I got me triple Baconators.
Okay.
I ate one, and then after the two, I'm like, hold up, this is probably not a good idea. These things weigh a ton. Now I gotta carry these things to the camper. Luckily, it was only like maybe 15 miles, but still, I'm
That's funny.
carrying probably, 3 pounds extra worth of food just to the camper. But I was in good spirits, and
Right.
so from there, I just pretty much walked the rest of the way and got to the camper about midnight. I was hungry again, so I had another Baconator, and then I was tired. So
Okay.
I was like, oh, I'm gonna take me a nap. So it took me about an hour nap, got my up, felt good, and got my caffeine and taped my, I think that's when I taped my feet and packed everything up. So I knew, I had my light, and it was dark out still. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. So I had to have all my light stuff and started my way down south. About actually mile 80, I started hurting, not feeling that great. Let's say you had to use the restroom. That was fun. Good thing I brought baby wipes and paper towels.
Yep.
So by the time I got past the last big bridge, it was right at Liberty, I just wasn't feeling good. I don't know if I was taking too much supplements or what. I felt like really garbage. So I laid there for about 2.5, 3 hours to get my stomach. I got some Pepto at Liberty. Couldn't even eat anything. And once I got better, I put my stuff back on, got some water, and trekked my way back, from, so that's Salvo to Avon.
Okay.
And then that's actually when I saw you with
I was
your
going to say that's the first time I ran into you, right?
with your pizza.
Absolutely.
Did I tell you what? I had that piece of pizza and I craved pizza all the way up till this past weekend.
That's awesome.
Did not, I know you got hungry, but you're burning calories, 100 to 120 or so per mile, and maybe more, and you get hungry. I did not realize how hungry you get. So you told me about the post office, which was a blessing. Got dark, I think, right after we met. It's like, okay, I'll make it to the lighthouse, and I'll make it to the post office. No, I barely even made it to the post office. It was
Okay.
slow walking of maybe 25, 30-minute miles, and I ran to the post office a little after 8 o'clock, and so I'm gonna lay here for a while. Whatever I get up, I get up. So the floor was pretty cold, and I'm moving around, but luckily I did have a emergency blanket that came with the water backpack that I had purchased. So I wrapped myself up, and a few people came in and out as I lay on the floor. No clue what they're thinking, but hey. Look like this guy with, emergency blanket wrapped up, sleeping on the post office floor.
You were just the homeless dude.
So
That's okay.
that was about, I think about 1 o'clock. It was like 4 or 5 hours I slept, and said, well, time to get up and keep on trekking. At this time, my calves are shot, my feet are shot, and barely could get up. Luckily, there was like little table that I could pull myself up on and put everything together and walk I think from there is about maybe 8 or 9 miles to
About
the
eight, yeah, about
light.
8 miles to the lighthouse.
And so I got to the lighthouse and rest there for a minute and saw Garrett. He was on his way out when I was walking in. And also at the same time, I'm trying to do a little video on this to bring awareness to for the veterans and help awareness in
Awareness and
action.
action, yep.
So it's about 4:30. I'm gonna make it to the food line about maybe 6:30, but it was going a little slower, so I made the food line at 7. And I know a lot of people out there don't know, on the off season, there's like nothing open.
Nothing. Exactly nothing. More, less than nothing, actually.
Like there's some stuff that opens, but not at 7 o'clock in the morning. So luckily, food line was open and didn't have any hot food. Nothing like that. Got me some sushi, got me some snacks, got me energy drinks. So went over there and ate and took an hour and a half nap on the bench.
Awesome. Is that where you ran into Richard Gleave?
Yes. So I got up and then Richard was there resting too. And he ate something from Food Lion and then we buddied up. We had our long 16-mile long road of nothing.
Yeah, that is a brutal road. The light poles are even hard to count there, aren't they?
I wasn't even paying attention. And
Yeah,
it's so crazy. There's no one out there, especially at night, and people don't even get over. Like,
right.
I mean, granted, there is that 3-foot rule. I don't know what North Carolina law is, but I mean, you get some people that go all the way in the other lane, and then some people just, nah, I don't care that you're on the side of the road walking. I'm just gonna stay where I'm at and about 3 or 4 feet. We don't wave at those people. We waved at the people that actually got over.
That's
So,
right. That's right. Always be kind to the ones that move over.
and after probably 12 miles or so, it wasn't much talking going on because
Right.
we were both back in the pain cave. Like I felt good after the nap and the food, but 12 miles in after that, pain cave was kicking in, and we saw that first house or something. And Richard's like, is this thing get any bigger? It seems like it's
Yeah.
just being the same size, for miles and miles. Luckily, he had room at the KOA for 2 nights, and he went to Dollar General and got some food, some microwave stuff. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to go to Liberty. They got hot food there. They close at 5, and I should be good. Well, I get to Liberty. Well, the hot food they had was leftover from lunch.
Yeah.
And it wasn't all that great either.
No.
But I end up resting there, try to take a nap, because from there to the camper's 15 miles. I rested for about 2 hours, got more caffeine, and I believe it was 7 o'clock. When I around 7 o'clock, I left Liberty. And I was thinking maybe 2.5 to 3 miles, maybe 3 miles an hour, but most likely 2.5. But actually, I felt good. I was pushing along there. Sometimes I was running and then I was walking fast. And I ended up doing that in, I think, 4 hours and 45 minutes. So
Wow.
it was like 3.5 to almost 4 miles an hour average I was doing those 15 miles. But still, it took forever. It just, especially at night, it just doesn't stop. So, pushing along, and then I was like, you could see the bridge in sight, but I was like, man, that's far away. And I made the mistake of, when I saw headlights coming, counting how long before the car got there.
Okay.
So, in the beginning, it was like 60, 70 seconds. I'm like, man, this is not good because I know these people are not going 55 miles an hour. They're going probably 65, 70. And I'm like, I got at least over a mile to get to that turn.
That would
But
get frustrating.
I was like, man, that's not a good idea. But I did it anyways. And finally, get to the bridge. Finally. And that bridge is not fun at all. The
Nah.
tilt on it, the lean, I mean, it was the lean that hurts the ankles.
Yep.
So much of a, I don't know what the,
Yeah, that camber is weird on that bridge.
it just like didn't doesn't go away. Like I was about to go on the other side because I remember this when I was going south, it didn't feel this bad and on the lower side. And the bridge just didn't stop. It just kept on turning, and it just felt like forever. But eventually, came to an end. And I think it was just right before midnight, got to the camper and got some food. I got that last triple baconator.
That right there you go. That Baconator saved your life, huh?
But after this point, I wasn't on keto no more, so I had the bud with that one. And laid out, I set an alarm on the phone, and I was going to sleep till like 3:15. It was a couple hours. I woke up, it was like 3:45, My phone came unplugged somehow, and I think that's the Lord telling me to, you need to sleep more. So I said, you know what, I'm gonna lay down some more. So plugged my phone in, and I lay down for another 45 minutes to an hour, I believe, something like that. And then I felt good after that. Wasn't the best, but good I can feel after what, 150 miles?
Hey, you're like at
So,
150 now, so yeah.
calves, feet, just throbbing and a little bit better after getting off them and resting. Actually, sun started coming up when I left. I think it was right before 6 o'clock, but I had to carry my all my light stuff with me because I didn't have anything further down or anybody to carry to take me, so I had to
Okay.
bring all that extra weight. And it was still, was it 10, 13 miles before anything came up? I had to
Yeah.
put 2 liters of water in my backpack and just started trucking. And I was looking for food, but I think the KFC and the Taco Bell thing there was not open till like 9 o'clock, and I was gonna be there
Okay.
at 8:15. It's like, man, I don't have time to wait. I gotta keep on moving forward if I want to get done Thursday evening, because I knew how many miles I had and how fast I'm going, and I need breaks in between. So I roll up to 7-Eleven, and next there's a gentleman there that bought me an energy drink, and I got me some taquitos, and thanked him and kept on walking. So and then that was like 9 o'clock, and I'm like, man, I want pizza. I want pizza, because ever since I had that piece of pizza, I want pizza.
That's so awesome.
And oh, and go back. So when that piece of pizza I had, what, at 6 o'clock at night, from that night, from that time to 7 o'clock the next morning, I didn't really eat anything because I wasn't even feeling one of my snacks I had. That's in walnuts, that's some jerky, some peanut butter, some other stuff. I didn't even want that. So let me a second. My son's texting me. They're coming over. I'm thinking, okay, where can I get lunch at? And I'm looking at, and a lot of these pizza places don't open until 4 o'clock. There is one that opened at, I think, 12 or 11:30, but yet it was another 15, 20-minute wait, and I don't have 15, 20 minutes. So at this point, Jeff had, he had a meeting up with me. He's gonna walk with me. We went to this one place, and I said I wanted pizza, and they were very kind to make me pizza because actually this wasn't all on the lunch menu. And so we ate there, and then we trekked on, and I knew there's a gas station come up, the BP gas station in
And duck,
Duck.
yeah, yep.
And I said, well, I can get food here, I can heat it up at Jeff's place, but I don't really want to carry it all that far. So I was like, I'll find another place. Well, that was a mistake. The Hampton Inn was my saving grace. So I was like, oh, I want to go to Hampton. They got to have snacks, at least something. I need something. I went to Hampton Inn, bought me a bunch of stuff, hung out for maybe 20, 30 minutes. And
Was this Wednesday night?
this was Wednesday night around, I think, 9:30, 10
Okay.
o'clock. And it's 4.5 miles to Jeff's place. And that 4.5 miles probably was the worst out of everything.
Really?
Yes. Exhausted, feet hurting. But I tell you what, I've told many people the best thing about being so exhausted, I do not remember much of it.
There you go.
I just know I was in a lot of pain. Lots of pain. And one foot in front of the other. And you look at your GPS, which is not a good idea. You're like, man, I've only done a half mile. And eventually, around midnight, I made it to Jeff's place, and took a good, I think, 4 hour nap
Oh,
up
awesome.
there.
Cool.
And I woke up and look at the time. It took I'm out hours longer than I wanted to be, but it ended up being perfect. So, well, I got 20, I think 28 miles left. I can make it right at 6 o'clock, and that gives time for my kids that get off school. So trying to time it to make it through the refuge part,
Yep.
but also not be, too early before they get there. And then doing the math, and in 30 minutes after, I think I actually had to do 30 minutes before, fatigued. It's like, man, I'm not gonna make it. So I had to start running. That hurt a lot. Oh yeah, and also I forgot to say, I ran out of water before I even got to the Carolina line.
Oh my gosh.
So I had the last, what, 10 miles to go without water. And then that's when you came down and met me with a bottle of water, and they closed the gate on us early, but technically I still had time. So I think we made it, what, about 8 minutes to, I think,
I
nine, or 6:24, I think,
Yeah, I
the
think it was like,
cutoff.
yeah, it wasn't 6:30 yet. So yeah, they had closed the gate a little bit early, so we made it out in time.
And then I had texted my friend Andrew that drove him very graciously, nice enough to drive my kids down there to watch me finish. And everything worked out perfect. Like, he hit traffic and everything, but he got there. The Lord was very blessed, and he got there just like 5 minutes before I finished. And if anything, I was just gonna lay the last mile. I was gonna lay there until they got there, but didn't have to lay there. And we walked out the last mile and finished up strong, actually running. And I was very, it was a blessing to have my two kids there when I finished the race. And throughout the time, they were encouraging me and saying I'm doing great. And I FaceTimed them a couple times. And so, yeah, that was my
There's
story
your
of
swami. Yeah, that's
my
awesome.
Swami.
Yeah.
And I even said I can't wait till the next year, even before I finished.
There you go. There you go.
So,
So you're ready to sign up for 2026, right?
oh yes, I'm definitely gonna be part of that race, and learned a lot. And
So
70
finished
more.
swami in 106 hours, which is very good for your first time going over 100 miles. And over 200 miles all at the same time. So yeah, it was a fantastic race on your part, especially going uncrewed and not knowing what you were in for. And so yeah, I thought you did a fantastic job. Ran it into the finish line. It was awesome, that your kids were there for the finish. That was a really neat moment. So yeah, it was cool. You did a fantastic job, Scott.
I appreciate it.
All right, so
And
what's the biggest thing you learned about yourself in this Swami?
that the miles are brutal on you, but you could just keep on going. Like, the thought of, with everything that's going on in my life, and the pain is only temporary, and it just keep on pushing along. And then I can, if I can do this, there's many other things that I can get through, especially with Christ being by my side the whole time.
Yeah. Awesome. So this is the way we like to wrap up all the episodes on Living an Altar Life. So obviously the name of the podcast is Living an Altar Life, and I think when we were together I told you kind of where that origin came from. So what's the first thing that pops into your head when you hear that phrase, Living an Altar Life?
Lots of miles.
Lots of miles, yeah. I just the human body is capable of way more than we think our human bodies are capable of. And it's just a matter of, are you willing to go out and explore the outer limits?
Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultra Life.